I have with me today on Goldfields FM the current president of the Maryborough Rotary Club, Gary Higgins, and the chair of the club's administrative committee, past district governor, Jeff James. And I hear that the local club has just passed a very significant milestone.
Yes, Dan, thanks. Last Thursday we celebrated our 70th anniversary since our club was chartered. And the club was chartered in March 31st, 1952. So to the night, it was 70 years, which was managed quite well by you, Jeff, I think.
Nothing to do with me.
Someone checked the
calendar. It all happened 1952.
So how many people turned up?
Yeah, look, we had about 110 people there, and it was a great night.
Yes, and who were some of those amongst the honoured guests, or maybe the not honoured guests?
Well, yes, we had actually. We were really pleased with the turn up. We had, of course, the mayor of the Central Goldfields and the CEO of Central Goldfields and Louise Staley, local member. And then in the Rotary field, we had Rotary International Zone Director for Australia and New Zealand. That was a lady who used to live in this area. That was Jessie Harmon. Right. So she's now a member of the Rotary International Board, which is great. Five district governors, assistant governors, and we had presidents of local club of all of many local service clubs, as well as district Rotary clubs, and it was a great turn up, and we felt really very, very chuffed that we had all those people willing to come out and celebrate with us.
So what happened on the night? How did it go down?
Oh, look, the food was magnificent. I must admit. I just want to give a shout out to the Highland Society too. I know they're in the middle of kitchen renovations, and all the cooking's been done in
caravans,
and the meal was quite spectacular. It was a great night. Look, and our club does it very, very well, and we're lucky that we've got a couple of musos in the club, and the music aspect of the club, and mainly led by Jeff, but certainly gave it a different feel. We've got a lot of people in the club who just ad lib magnificently, and it just made it a great night.
I've heard they practice in the shower, actually.
Yes, and keep it there too, Dan.
So a bit of music trivia. Yeah, you'd have a birthday cake as well. So did you get to blow it out with one puff or what?
Very good and very yummy birthday cake from a certain bakery in town.
Checks in the mail.
Checks in the mail, yes. Yeah. And, of course, a new history book was launched. So tell us all about the history book.
Yes, well,
if it was television, I'll hold it up to the microphone at any rate. Here it is, folks. Service Above Self, 1999 to 2022. Jeff, you know a fair bit about it.
Yes, it's been with me for about a year, I reckon.
Labour of love?
Yes, as a labour of love. But we actually had we've done pretty well as a club for history books. We've actually had four altogether. Daryl McLeish wrote a major one in about the turn of the century. It's interesting to say that, isn't it? The turn of the century. Yeah, which was published in 2001. And that was actually based on two previous history books, one after 30 years and another one after 10 years. And then we actually had one of our members, Brian Thomas, had a senior's moment there. Brian Thomas did a little book of photos and so on for the first 10 years of the 20th century. And so basically my book went from 2000 up to the present, 2022.
Yeah,
and
so this century. You got this century.
We got this century,
there.
Yes. Yeah, this is Rotary Maryborough 21st century.
Now, that's interested in the title, Service Above Self. So tell us the sentiment behind that.
Service Above Self, and that's what Rotary is. Mm-hmm. And I can just publicly thank Jeffrey's work with this project. It's been magnificent, and as you can see, the amount of detail in that book is incredible, and it's really well titled, I think, because it basically depicts and acknowledges the work that, and I think somebody mentioned the other night that we've had something like 400 local people over the journey that have been involved in making Maribyrnong and the world, really, a better place through their service to Maribyrnong Rotary.
Mm. You park your egos and you think of other people, basically.
That's the theory.
I don't know about that. Sometimes that sort of surfaces to the top of the ego.
We're human.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. Yeah. All right, so how did the club actually begin? I know neither of you were there, but we could have been. We're not going to tell anybody.
Not in Maribyrnong. I was in Bendigo at that time. But anyway, no, it was actually a guy by the name of Hans Ebeling, who apparently was a great footy player. Did you know that, Gary?
Oh, the name is familiar, but I never played against him.
Avoca he came from.
Yeah, he came from Avoca. And
he came over the hill.
He moved to Ballarat, and he, in due time, so probably the late 40s, became president of the Ballarat Rotary Club. And then it was early, about 1950, 51 or so, he mentioned to the current president of Ballarat that Maribyrnong would be a great place because he had a few mates in Maribyrnong and it'd be a great place for a Rotary Club. So Hans was then duly appointed the official representative of the district governor for the Rotary Club of Maribyrnong to go ahead and do something about it. And he worked really hard. He sort of got, razzed up a lot of interest in the club and actually personally contacted a whole stack of people. And as a result of that, they got enough members to have a club, which was over 20, I think was the number at that stage. And in early February 1952, they started meeting with about 22 members.
So it was pretty good to get that underway so quickly.
Absolutely, yeah.
He was an enthusiastic gentleman.
He was, and he's got a lot of. I looked him up on the internet, and he was honoured. I forget actually which footy club he was in, but he was actually quite famous as a footballer and as entrepreneur, I suppose, in the area.
In the area, yep. Mm. And, of course, it all got underway in the town hall.
It did, yes. The charter was official. The official date for the club was, as Gary's mentioned, the 31st of March, but the actual certificate didn't arrive for several months later, so they had a big do town hall, over 200 people.
Mm,
And the charter was presented then, and off she went.
Mm. Oh, it's great, isn't it, to be able to find that history for a start?
Yeah.
And the enthusiasm continues, Derek.
Yes.
Which is fantastic, isn't it?
Yep.
All right, so where do they actually meet? A bit like you, they're looking for a place to meet.
Yeah, look, I'd just say there where, our first full-time president was Frank Lowry, and I can remember as a young kid working at Lowry's 7X. Factory down in Burn Street with John and Eddie Lowry, so it's interesting. Mm-hmm. But Harris's Cafe, which is next to the Paramount Theatre, which I can remember as a kid, was Cole Kennedy's pie shop, who made the best pies and pasties that I've ever tasted.
Wow.
That's a bit of something.
That's a bit of a tick, isn't it?
Yeah, and Wacko Weeks took over from him, so it was a pretty significant local venue in Maribyrnong at the time. And then, of course, they went to the RSL club, and I can remember when I joined 14 or 15 years ago, that was our venue back then. And
59, I think they moved there.
So they'd grown fairly substantially by that stage. If they could no longer fit in the cafe or the soft drink factory or where are they meeting, they had to find a bigger venue.
And then the RSL ladies sort of, they basically retired, I think that's what happened. Then we went to the Havilah Park.
Yeah, I think the Havilah ladies actually came to us at the RSL for a while.
That's right.
Then they found that they'd prefer to use their own kitchen, so they actually offered us a spot in Havilah.
Which would have been very handy for one of your former members, no longer with us, of course, Bobby Osborne.
Indeed.
Oh, Bob, yes. You have to wheel out into the meeting.
Well, he did. Yes, he was right on spot.
And then, of course, COVID, you know, upset or disrupted a lot of regular habits within a lot of organisations, and we had to...
So how did you manage to keep going over COVID? Many organisations had ways of doing it, and some of them just folded, but I know you managed to keep going.
We got into the Zoom habit pretty early on, actually, and we found we were getting 20 members or so, weren't we, most of the time. So we actually maintained. We didn't do much in the sense as far as projects go.
Because
we couldn't. Yeah. Although we probably, I mean, when we look at some other clubs, they did manage to do some things. We probably could have maybe done a few things. But the good thing was we kept contact with most people. So we were doing that for most of the COVID period. And then then we realised we need to start doing some stuff again. And
so you decided to get together again, but you had nowhere to get together. So what are you doing now? Where are you meeting?
We're sort of the grey nomads a bit. We're floating around, and looking, we've been to the Bull of Mouth and the Highland Society.
Going to the Supreme
for brekkie
next week.
And looking, we've got with discussions with a venue at the moment, and if that comes off, it'll be really handy, and
just
it'll be a mutual benefit similar to what we had at Havilah. And can sling a few quid to, the owner of the property, as well as give us that permanent home, which is really important.
Yep. Yeah.
70 years of service to our community and beyond, of course. That's a pretty big effort. What are some of the highlights of those things that you've got up and going? And I know some are very close to your heart.
We've done a lot of stuff. It's been a pretty successful club, and I've just come from a Say No to Family Violence services group meeting, and our club actually holds a seat at that table, so that's the sort of
very important at the moment, isn't it? Coming out of COVID, there's some things that have gone on that really need to be sorted out, and certainly under that banner, very important in our community.
Our biggest role in that is that local advocacy, and that's where Rotary does that sort of stuff well. But
been picked up worldwide, hasn't it? Mm. Lots of Rotary clubs all over the world have had a look at this.
I'm speaking at Melton Rotary next Tuesday night. I've got an invite down there that I just had confirmed today. So
that's in a different Rotary district to us. So which is great. Yeah. We've got a couple of other clubs in our district, Horsham and Portland. Are both doing it, and others are looking at it.
Yep. Mm. So that's a very, very important program, but lots of other things you've been doing as well, and there's some highlighted here you might want to mention.
Yeah, the manse was a big job, and that was the old Presbyterian manse in Neal Street that we had a number of guys who were willing to do a bit of the hands-on work, and there was a lot of in-kind volunteering work done for that, to get that up into a place that would become an accommodation centre for people at the hospital who've got relatives in there, at the hospital, or for actually, it's turned out to be a good place for visiting doctors and so on, and trainee doctors, so that's been good. Dowie Conservation Park out at Carisbrook was a big job, and it's always been a big job for us to sort of keep that up to date. That was a big thing came into being about 1999, and we're still looking after that to some extent, less so now, but in the sense that its ownership has changed. But then there's the Rotary Art Show, which was a huge thing for many years.
Yep. Our youth programs.
Yeah, very important, isn't it?
Look, and we do a lot of stuff, because Rotary is full of acronyms, but, a lot of the youth programs where we actually send local children away to develop their personal and leadership skills.
Yep.
One of the good ones, I think, in terms of benefiting local kids, is our LIFT program. Yep. So Most schools appoint school captains and house captains and throw them to the wolves and say you're a leader. And yeah. So what we've managed to do is Jeff gave come up with an acronym, the LIFT program, which is Leadership Instruction for Teens. So all those kids who appointed school captains, and you know, we do around about 20 or 30 of those kids each year, which has been a great program.
Usually in this very venue.
Yes, that's right. I've seen you out there.
Some of the other stuff, the international scholarships that we've promoted to send local people away to study world's best practice, and we've sent people to Ireland and Scotland and San Diego, and they've brought those skills back to our community to hope that help that social capacity building.
Those of you have got a sparkle in your eyes when you start to talk about youth and youth programs, and that's wonderful to see, because very, very important, isn't it? So it's our future.
Absolutely. It's the future, isn't it? It's our future.
All right. What other things are we into?
I just think of that. We had a $10,000 donation to the Cleft Palate Association, because one of our members heard about a couple of kids who were affected by that, and so that just started a whole real response by members, and that was a pretty quick donation. We got that up and running, and that made a huge difference for kids in overseas, in Pacific Islands, who needed operations because of cleft palate. And so
And there are little things too that to us don't mean a lot, but
that happens to, though.
Well, but you know, like the South Sudan project, I think we used to chip in $10 a meeting, and that used to buy a building virtually in South Sudan.
The money, and we roofed a library there for them, or set up a library for them.
So, what's the future look like? What's the next 70 years look like? Are you going to be president again, another 50, or what are you looking at?
Well, actually, interesting, strange you should say that, but because of COVID, we thought that we'd roll this year over again.
And lots of clubs have done that, and quite sensibly.
Yeah, it could give us an opportunity to bed our new strategic plan down, which we're sort of is reviewing at the moment.
But also, you want people to know what they're doing just to go forward for a little while.
We do. I need to get back into doing stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
And look, in this, you know, 70 years celebration of the past is also, you know, the beginning of another 70 years too. So, you know, that's what we're looking at. And I suppose one of the significant things about Rotary that's quite often lost is our contribution to world peace. And I know it's probably not we haven't been real successful at the moment in some areas in Eastern Europe, but
unfortunately.
And Rotary was one of the chairs at the table in the formation of the United Nations. So peace really is, the DNA of Rotary.
Well, all the best for the next 70 years, and a very happy birthday to Maryborough Rotary Club. What a fantastic effort.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.